Welcome back. Everyone's hurt. Dan Potash tweeted, I don't know if you saw this, on AT&T Sportsnet. He's in a sling right now. And apparently with his interviews with Sullivan, Sullivan is never holding the microphone. I just think that that's hilarious and perfect. Not obviously that I'm happy he's injured, but like that's just defines how what the Penguins are going through right now. Welcome back, everyone, to the Boys of Winter podcast. We had a little break there for Thanksgiving. I don't know. Do you want to try and do an episode next week during finals week?
Yeah.
We can try it. Yeah. We'll probably have.
It depends if I have a final during this time.
We'll definitely do an episode next week. Maybe not the original time, but we have this week, next week, and then we're off for winter break. So we won't see you guys till next year, essentially. Yeah. So a lot of Penguin stuff that happened over what we missed. I'm just going to recap the games real quick. We had a home-and-home with the Islanders. Both were overtime losses. Both came with Brock Nelson scoring in overtime. Matt Murray's starting to struggle a little bit, and I don't think it's something you have to acknowledge if you're a Penguins fan. Tristan Jarry's been coming in and playing more games here down the stretch, and he's been okay as well. He's actually been very great, but Murray's been struggling. Murray struggled in both these Islanders games. Hornquist returned from his injury, but of course he's injured again now. Brian Rust, Malkin, Gensel line was phenomenal, but of course, again, that's no longer together because Russ is hurt. We moved on to New Jersey. We got a very solid 4-1 win. And with it being Thanksgiving break, I wasn't allowed to, I was occupied doing other things, spending time with friends and family, so I wasn't able to watch a bunch of these games. And it seems like every single game I watched, we lost. And every single game I didn't watch, we won. These three games right here. The New Jersey game where we won 4-1. The Calgary game where we won 3-2. And Galchenyuk scored and Gensel scored in overtime. And then the Vancouver game. I didn't watch all three of those games and we won all three.
For the Vancouver game, I was busy. And then I saw a text or I saw the notification that Cahoon made it 6-4, and I was like, all right, I'll watch.
I had it on, but I was doing other things. Like, I had some of my friends over, and I saw that it was 6-3, and I'm like, all right, we can go to, the other room or something. But I still had it on. I came back, and it was 6-6, and then the Penguins won 8-6. It was crazy.
Yeah, I started watching when Cahoon made it 6-4, and then I was in my bed watching a live stream. And I saw Malkin make it 6-5.
Yeah. Letang tied it up.
No, it was Aston Reese that tied
it up. Oh, it was Aston Reese. Yeah, Letang got the game winner.
And then Malkin had the last second.
Malkin had the empty net goal. Yeah, it was crazy. Yeah, that game specifically, Murray got pulled after four goals. Jarry came in. It was 2-1 Pittsburgh after the first period. 4-2 Vancouver after the second period. 6-3 Vancouver midway through the third. And 8-6 in the final. And I don't know how I feel about this game because I'm very happy that we won, obviously, but I'm also not happy that I wasn't able to watch it. But I don't know, maybe it's because of me. You're welcome, Penguins.
I think the funniest thing is whenever Pens fans that they go on Twitter and brag that they stopped watching the game and that's why they won.
That was me. No, I think that's hilarious.
No, I'm like that Goetzel Twitter account.
Yeah, Goetzel, he's a good guy.
Congrats, dude, you're a fake fan.
No, he's not a fake. He's.
I'm just okay, it's the game's not over and. It's just, come on.
Well, I didn't watch it, at all, from start to finish. I think that's what he was talking about, too. Malkin had 5 points in that Vancouver game, but the game before is notable. Alex Galchenyuk scored his first goal as a Pittsburgh Penguin. He broke the scoring, and I did call it on Twitter. I'm like, the Penguins even tweeted out, any bold predictions for tonight? Galchenyuk scores. He did score.
I went back and liked it.
Very happy that that happened, but still, he's been put on the fourth line, and he's struggling so far. Jake Gensel with the overtime winner in that one.
I'm just so happy that Galchenyuk's not locked up for a long-term
deal. Yeah, me neither. Or me as well, yeah. Columbus game, somewhat of an acceptable loss, 5-2 loss. And also St. Louis, 5-2 loss. Somewhat frustrating here. Back-to-back losses, 5-2. Nyquist scored a hat-trick in the Columbus game. Murray struggled in the St. Louis game. Jarry got the start in the Columbus game. Kind of the same type of efforts here. We're hurting and... it's starting to be really evident right now because Crosby, Dumoulin, Bjugstad, Hornquist, Rust, Schultz, Krebs, Hutchinson, Potash are all hurt right now. Three names there. not being players, but
you spelled my last name wrong.
I did. Oh, my bad.
It's okay. I fixed
it. It's crazy. The Penguins.
Michael Hutchinson spells his last name.
Okay, that's what. Yeah, that's what. Yeah. Who's no longer in the NHL. It's crazy. What's going on with the Penguins injury situation? And one thing that the hockey guy brought up, like on his YouTube channel, which I love. Shout out to the hockey guy.
He's the best hockey YouTube channel on YouTube.
After Steel City Films.
Oh, okay. Yes, I thought you were going to say Steve Dangle. I was going to have an argument, but yes.
I like Steve Dangle.
I like Steve Dangle too, but I
his content's the same.
The hockey guy's just better.
Yeah. No, he brought up a good point where he was like, this isn't like the Penguins' conditioning being bad. Like, this isn't like sprained ankles and stuff like that, like not conditioning. This is freak injuries. Like, Brian Dumoulin's out with, I don't know, do you remember even what it was? It's 8 weeks. Bjugstad's out 8 weeks minimum.
Yeah.
Crosby's out with a sports hernia. That doesn't happen to players often. We've had it happen to two players so far with Trotman and Crosby.
Yeah, I'm just happy that Rust is only day-to-day.
Yeah,
he is the best player on the Penguins right now.
After Malkin, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like he's the hottest
playing player. Playing the best, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like every single game I see an
additional he's been so great.
And not only is he scoring, he's scoring really nice
goals. Yeah, and they're not, yeah, exactly. They're not like Hornquist
he's up in that trade
type value. Goals. No, he's staying. He's staying.
Oh, yes.
Especially since Galchenyuk can't score, he's turning into... a score for the Penguins.
And I don't want anyone out there to think that whenever at the beginning of the season we're talking about us like thinking Russ should be traded, it's not that we thought Russ was bad.
Yeah, it was more of a cap move.
It's because we think that of the players that we can trade, he's the best.
Yeah.
And now he's killing it right now, showing he's the fastest guy in the Penguins.
He has I'm pretty sure he's in double
nine
digits.
Or 10 goals
he's he might be in double digits of goals already, and yeah. He hasn't played every game
his
too.
Goals
that's
per game is crazy.
Yeah, that's the thing. And, yeah, like you mentioned, their clutch goals as well. So, with all these injuries, the Penguins did make a signing. I don't know if you saw this. Mm-hmm. Stefan Nason, former Devil.
I think it's Nason.
Nason. It's Nason.
It's Nason, okay.
Well, according to Tyler Gallo, it's Nason.
Okay, well, I guess he would be the guy to know.
It's
kind of cool because I actually did recognize that name when I signed him. It's not like something.
Well,
like,
the Penguins had him in the organization overall. We signed him to an AHL-only deal with Wilkes-Barre and... He is now leading, I'm pretty sure, the AHL in scoring or something like that. It's either the AHL or Wilkes-Barre. I think there's a big difference there. But he's doing good for himself. So we got a one-year $700K deal. It is what it is. He'll probably be in the lineup here soon, sadly.
He's a Cranberry right now.
Yeah, he'll definitely be playing. We play St. Louis Wednesday, so we do have another day. For people to get healthy, hopefully Rust.
Such a weird home and home.
Yeah, I don't like
that.
Complaining.
I just think Western Conference home and homes are kind of weird. I kind of wish they like spread them out.
It feels like we're playing in like the Cup Final or something, like a home, and then you wait 2 days, and then you go to the next city. It's weird.
Yeah, it's interesting, but I feel like we were playing like pretty much every other day. So
we have played very good against the Western Conference overall, like Calgary, the Vancouver game as well. So.
Yeah, we were really doing well against West this year.
Except for the one St. Louis game that we had against 5-2.
Yeah.
Stefan Nason, 1 year, $7K deal. What does this team look like when it's healthy now? And, like, the main question that I have with this is who does Guentzel play with? And I know you're immediately going to say Crosby.
And Simone.
But is this Guentzel, Malkin, Rust line better than the Crosby Simone Guentzel line? Is it?
No. I just think Crosby and Guentzel are... the only reason why I say this, Crosby and Guentzel, when they're together, are that might be the best duo in the NHL.
I agree.
So it's rough, but that's the line. That line is doing very well.
But do you go, like I... Do you experiment, is what I'm trying to ask here, when the Penguins come back?
Yeah.
Here's my proposed experimental lines. This isn't what I exactly want necessarily, but this is when we're fully healthy, which will never happen. McCann, Crosby, Galchenyuk, first line.
I want to see Galchenyuk on the first line.
I want to see him play more. And people are like calling him out and saying, well, he's not doing anything. He's not getting any playing time. He's playing like 8-10 minutes a night, which it sucks for him, but he's got to work his way out of this. Sullivan is not trusting him at all defensively.
If you do take Gens off the first line, I think Galchenyuk's perfect on the left wing.
Yeah.
They tried him out earlier in the season as the right wing. I don't think that's smart. I think Galchenyuk's better on that left side.
Second line, Gensel, Malkin, Rust. That has proved to be a very solid line, like what the games that Rust has been healthy. I think you have to lock up Malkin and Rust no matter what.
Yeah. So now that he has that Phil Kessel, that right-handed shot on your line.
Yeah.
Put Brian Rust there. Rust has a sick shot, I feel.
He does.
He scores a lot of goals that are just snipes.
Third line, this is, again, just my projected experimental line combinations for what I think the Penguins should try when everyone gets healthy. Dominic Cahoon, Nick Bjugstad, Brandon Tanev for the third line. Fourth line, Sam Lafferty, Teddy Bluger, Patrick Hornquist. Scratches, Dominic Simone, Zach Aston-Reese, Joseph Landisi, Stefan Nason, Yusa Rikola, Zach Trotman, Chad Ruedel. Defensive pairings, Dumoulin and Letang, Pedersen, Schultz, Johnson.
How about Jack Johnson?
Johnson, Marino, Murray, Jari.
Johnson has been doing well.
I wouldn't say he's been doing well. I just want to say he's been doing fine. We'll save that
topic. In that 8-6 game against Vancouver, the Penguins gave up six goals. And I know you called me out on that one thing about plus minus. I never said it was a bad stat. I just said it's kind of misleading sometimes.
It is a misleading stat.
But Johnson was a plus like two, and okay. The Penguins gave up six goals. That was kind of nice.
We'll talk. Yeah, that's
him and John Marino. That's a really good pairing.
Yeah, I just think John Marino is a great defenseman. Just overall, like, he does not get enough credit for what he's been doing with the Penguins. He's the new Marcus Pettersson on this team. Yeah. I'm so happy with what he's emerged as doing, and I'm happy that both Rutherford and Sullivan like did their job with him. Rutherford went out and got him for a good price, like literally nothing, and Sullivan is trusting him. So it's both of those guys working.
I really hope Dominic Cahoon doesn't turn out to be like a Connor Sherry.
Like, yeah.
I think Cahoon is killing.
That's
it,
a good point.
But I could see him doing very well now, and then maybe us locking him up for like a deal like Connor Sherry, and then kind of struggle.
Yeah, he is an RFA at the end of the year. He did struggle for like the first 10 games of the year, but he is hot now.
Yeah,
and I'm really liking his play. He is only a second year player though, so I don't think he'll get that big of a raise.
I'd say probably like 2 years, maybe 1.5. Yeah, 2 million.
Which we talked about last episode. If you want to give that a listen, last episode,
yeah, nice
about
little,
the Penguins.
Nice little bridge deal for him.
So yeah, it's you never know with the Penguins, and really the most crazy thing that I'm saying here with these fully healthy line combinations is the fully healthy part overall, because as we mentioned, Crosby, Dumoulin, Bjugstad, Hornquist, Rust, Schultz all out right now. It looks like Rust and Schultz are going to be the first names back, but I don't even know. Like, I was going to do like injury updates on all these guys, but like I don't even want to feel like doing it because there's just going to be more. Right now, we did that one quiz, the one time with, can you name all seven Penguins that have been in every single game? Now it's only six with Simone, Gensel, Pedersen, Aston-Reese, Bluger, Tanev. And Tanev, do you see what happened to him the other game?
I think so.
He went to go lay a hit, I don't know on who it was, but the boards collapsed, and he like got tripped up in the boards and like checked the corner of the boards, and like he was hurt. But of course, he came back next shift though, because he's a tough guy, and we're glad to have him.
I have a player that I want to bring up that's been doing very well. It's impressed me, Jared McCann.
Jared McCann.
And by the way, Mason saw Jared McCann at Rouse Park Mall yesterday.
That's crazy. Just seeing him, like,
yeah, I just saw him like shopping. They didn't say hi or anything because they're too shy. But he was there. But yeah, Jared McCann has been playing very well.
I'm so happy with the acquisition of him. Like, when I think of the Penguins like this year, I'm gonna think of Jared McCann because he's been mostly healthy. He missed a couple games,
and he's scoring very nice goals.
He's scoring, like, his shot is so nice. The one snipe, I forget which game it was, but I think it was Calgary. He had a snipe, and these aren't like Dominic Simone goals where he's just
getting loose change. Like, last year, I felt like even though it was really cool seeing McCann, he scored that really nice panoramic goal
against Dallas. Yeah,
but half his goals were empty netters, so I was like, okay.
He had like three empty net goals. It was crazy.
No, he had more with the Penguins. I made a video of like all of his goals with the Penguins. It was at least five.
Really?
He had so many. I was like, okay, like, let's just see now.
That's crazy.
Yeah, but he is just doing so well against with the Penguins this year.
I'm pretty sure he's close to 10 too goals so far. He's at 9.
I have it up. 17 points in 25 games.
That's amazing.
He's gonna get I would say he's gonna get like
a huge raise. Yeah,
but might get like $3 million.
I hope Rutherford does something smart and locks him up long term, because this is a player that like I don't know why, but two franchises have just straight up passed on. He was drafted by Florida. Or no, he was drafted by Vancouver. And they passed him up. They traded him for Eric Gabranson.
Yeah.
And Florida took him and didn't do anything with him, really. And we got him for Brassard.
I wish he never changed his number when he came over. He wore 90 in Florida. And that's not that cool if you'd have, like, a 90 in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
But we'll talk about jersey numbers in a little bit.
Yeah. No, I like 19.
Did
I like,
take, like, a six-year, like, $3 million per deal?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
He could honestly be making, like, I wouldn't say Gensel money, but, like, close to it if you want a long-term deal. If you want a long-term deal, though. Like, I say he could make $5 million for, like, 7 years. But well, I'm not saying do that.
Say, like,
I'm not saying do that. No, absolutely.
Maybe I'm just undershooting it, but I would say about 3.5 at most for McCann.
Yeah, which would be phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Yeah. One thing I forgot to mention, though, with Seth and Nason, Seth Rarabog, I believe how you say his last name. Rarabog?
Yeah.
Is that how you say it? It was a pretty funny tweet he did the other day. The Penguins have had so many 2011 first-round draft picks that have come through the franchise. Our own first-round draft pick was Joe Morrow. He didn't work out. We acquired Stuart Pearcy from Toronto.
Who?
Exactly. Like, this is just the 2011 first-round draft picks that the Penguins have had. Jamie Oleksiak was the 14th pick by Dallas. Penguins ended up getting him. Didn't work out. The 21st overall pick from the Ottawa Senators, Stefan Nason. Penguins have him right now. The 22nd overall pick by the Toronto Maple Leafs, Tyler Biggs. He came over in the Phil Kessel deal. Yeah. Didn't work out.
He was such a flop.
The 23rd overall pick was the Penguins' original pick, Joe Morrow. Didn't work out. The 25th.
He still plays in the NHL, though.
Yeah.
I know he was a big part of the Winnipeg Jets playoff run a few years ago.
I think he's still with the Jets.
Yeah.
And the 25th overall pick, Stuart Pearcy. I think that's funny. Just all of these, I wouldn't say busts, but, like, they're not first-round draft picks.
The Penguins found ways to get a lot of first-round pick players.
Exactly, like, yeah. Jared McCann, really Nick Bukestad.
Yeah, well, they did turn out. But, like, they
Eric Branson, Jack Johnson. Like, yeah.
Hey, I'm a big Jack Johnson fan. Like, I'll just say it.
Yeah.
I really like Jack Johnson. But
that's a whole other episode.
Horrible. That third overall.
Yeah, that's a bad thing.
I remember watching this little mini documentary about Crosby and Jack Johnson, like, in the 2005 draft. Like, mm-hmm. They, like, roomed together.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
Like, it was just really funny. And then, like, seeing all these players that, you know, just Benoit Pouliot. One.
Yeah, that was a weird draft.
Yeah, other than Crosby. Bobby Ryan.
Bobby Ryan was second, yeah. Mini quiz for you here. Okay. Name the team. Well, we're still on the injury topic, I guess. We'll wrap this up here because it's very depressing. Name the team. Well, the Penguins are second in man games lost to injury, which is crazy. I thought they were going to be first. Name the team who has more.
More injuries.
More injuries. More man games lost to injuries. The Penguins currently have more injured players than this team. But the team with
Winnipeg.
The most... No.
No, it's not Winnipeg. Is it a Western Conference team?
It is an Eastern Conference team.
Okay. Maybe if you want to move on, I'll think about it so I don't just like have awkward
the
time.
The team is...
Well, I want to get this.
Okay. They have 5 current injuries. This is a lower team. This is the second worst team in the league, in my opinion. The Detroit Red Wings have 5 injuries right now. Anthony Mantha, Jimmy Howard, Justin Advocator, Trevor Daly, Danny DeKeyser.
Ouch.
Compare those names to the Penguins.
Yeah, Mantha's a beast.
Compare
Howard, Advocator, yeah.
Compare the franchise to the Penguins and, like, what they're doing right now. Like, the Red Wings are obviously a phenomenal franchise, but they're not going to win the Stanley Cup this year, and they're not trying to contend. The Penguins are. They're trying to contend.
Honestly love these injuries. Like, I know, like, it sucks for them, but it's going to cause them to be a bad team, and they will be able to get a very good draft pick.
Yeah.
Just wait. I think Detroit...
Okay, well, yeah, hold on.
Just give it a few years. Detroit is going to be a killer team.
Oh, you're talking about Detroit.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, they are going to... like.
Because oh, yeah, Detroit's going to be a great team.
They're going to finish low in this amazing draft. Like, imagine if they get Alex Lafreniere.
That'd be crazy.
Yeah. Like, I like Detroit.
Philip Zadina. They got him there.
Yeah. I like Zadina, but he's... been very under the radar.
They got Larkin still there at Anthony CU.
Mort Sider.
Mantha.
I'm a fan of him. It was kind of a stretch at like 5th or 6th overall. But
yeah.
This is such a deep draft that it's the only reason why I'm hesitant on any Penguins moving for Taylor Hall deals.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I really want to keep that first.
Yeah. I don't think that's going to happen though.
So.
Anyways, the Penguins with 88 man games lost to injury. Detroit has 96. Nashville has 11. So,
are they the lowest?
They're the lowest. Wow. So, yeah. Thanks, Nashville.
Benino has been having a pretty good season.
He has. Yeah. Good for him.
He's almost at like 10 goals.
Yeah, good for him. So, yeah. Only six Penguins have not been injured and played every single game. It's crazy with the injuries, but.
I'd love to see that for Tanev.
For
a guy that like throws his body around a lot, the fact that he hasn't been injured yet, that's just.
I'm pretty sure he's still leading the league in hits.
He's durable.
Speaking of durable, I want to just mention real quick him and how the Penguins are really missing him right now. And when I say him, I mean Phil Kessel. With all these injuries and with all of this, I wouldn't say lack of scoring. We scored 8 goals the other night. It's more of just a more of a team effort in terms of goals. Like Sam Lafferty had to score the other night. You really miss Phil Kessel right now. And it's sad to think about, but look at who we got back for him as a roster player currently, and look what he's doing. He's got 1 goal in the year, and he's on the fourth line. And I'm not calling out Alex Galchenyuk at all, but you have to mention it when you're talking about the subject.
Yeah, just how much he's struggling.
You also have to mention the injuries. I mentioned there's only 6 players that have not missed a game for the Penguins. Phil Kessel would be the 7th if he was still on this team. He still hasn't missed a game in Arizona, and he has one of the longest Ironman streaks in the league.
Still struggling, though.
I don't care if he's struggling. He's a player on your team. That's what the Penguins need. The Penguins literally need players, period. That's why they signed Stefan Nason, who, no offense to him, he's not an NHL player, really. Maybe on the Devils, but it's really hurting me. And that's all I've been thinking about with these injuries. I'm like, man, it really sucks that we don't have Phil Kessel right now. Especially when you look at the power play right now. We had to, like, Hornquist. I know Hornquist has played power play before and has a really, really good power play presence. But, like, who's going to be our defensive pairing for this next power play? We have Dumoulin and Schultz out. I mean, obviously Letang, but, like, you really miss Kessel because...
Yeah, and his 4 goals on the season.
Sullivan. Huh?
He's got 4 goals.
Okay.
I feel like, what was it last time? Did I say he had 3 and he only had 1 in the last Thanksgiving break? He's a minus 14.
Arizona's doing very good, though.
Yes, but... I imagine how much better they'd be doing if Phil Kessel was at least... performing at a goal.
And I'm just saying, imagine how much better the Penguins would be doing if they had players on their roster that could stay healthy. Phil Kessel is one of those names. Speaking of struggling players, I have to bring up Dominic Simone. I won't milk Alex Galchenyuk, the topic. We've talked about him like 3 weeks in a row now, but he is struggling. Dominic Simone is struggling, in my opinion, and I believe he deserves to be a healthy scratch. Your rebuttal.
I agree. I mean,
agree.
I think he's best with Sidney Crosby.
Me too. Me too, but I don't want him to play with Sidney Crosby.
Okay, well, Ryan Reeves leads the NHL hits.
He does, okay.
Yeah, with 136. And second is Mark Borowiecki with 108.
Did you hear what happened with him?
Who?
He stopped a robbery in Vancouver.
Borowiecki?
He, stopped, a gas station robbery or something like that. In Vancouver while he was there. Yeah, it's crazy. The Senators, tweeted out, a video of him as a RoboCop, and they just, edited his face on there. The Senators are an absolutely awful team right now, but their social media team is great.
Yeah, we could always have a discussion on social media teams at some point. I hate Vegas.
Vegas has the best one.
No, I hate it.
Has the best one.
Okay, you can be, funny and be, silly, but when you're only that, it's just annoying.
Okay, yeah.
I love the Penguins Twitter account. I think they have one of the best.
They do. They have a solid social media.
Whenever the Penguins give up a goal, they actually, give all the information on it. I feel like there's some teams that are they score. Okay, that's pretty stupid.
I've seen the Vegas Golden Knights being, bad guys score. Or something like that.
Good one, I guess. But I love how the Penguins are just, Claude Giroux scores at, Claude Giroux scores to tie the game. There's, 17 minutes left in the first period.
Yeah.
It's perfect. It obviously, it sounds like they're glum because they're not, throwing exclamation points. But, they're at least giving information.
Yeah.
And there are some social medias that do both. I think Colorado does a really well job.
Mm-hmm.
They can be, funny, but at the same time, they don't, hold off on giving information.
Yeah.
All right, that's my little rant on.
Carolina has the best social media team.
Yeah, they're very good, too. Because they, I like how they, bond with other Twitter accounts. They have a...
Well, there was literally... I saw yesterday... there was literally a just like a random tweet that showed up in my timeline. It was like, I'm looking to get into hockey. How do I start following it? And the Carolina Hurricanes replied and was like, yeah, we'll give you tickets and something. Or like, we'll let you know. We can text you and stuff like that. It was weird.
That's cool.
Anyways.
Moving on.
Yeah, moving on. Except for one more somewhat Penguins news thing that dropped. Actually, no, I want to talk about the goaltending controversy between Jari and Ari. All right,
we'll keep it brief, though, because I feel like we talk about the goalie. Like,
yeah.
We talk about Murray all the time.
We do. World Juniors for Team Canada has been announced. I don't know about you, but I absolutely love watching the World Juniors every single year.
They
love it.
They have such passion, the kids.
Yes, they're so passionate, and it's crazy. We are now older than these players.
Yeah, that is very surreal. Like, I remember the draft where Darlene was drafted. That was the first time where there were players that were older
from
than
from 2000. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna read off all the names. I'm just gonna read off some of like the notable ones. Of course, Alexis Lafreniere, Dylan Cousins, Liam Foudy, Nolan Foote, Peyton Krebs, who has an amazing last name, very close to Krebs. But the big one, I guess, for us Penguins fans, Kalen Addison. Second round pick in like 2016 for the Penguins, I believe. So it's good to see him make World Juniors for Canada. He didn't make it last year. He didn't make the final cuts. And also notable for me, because I'm from the Erie area, Jamie Drysdale, Erie Otters defenseman, looking to possibly be a top five pick. So yeah, I'm very excited for World Juniors for Canada.
I wonder how Pierre Oliver Joseph is doing.
Yeah.
Because I remember, like, I wanted to, before him, I would say definitely our best defensive prospect was Kalen Addison. But now that, you know,
it might be Kalen Addison. No. Yeah, he's 19. I think Oliver Joseph's older than him. I don't think he's eligible for World Juniors.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll see. Yeah, it's definitely, I just love watching the World Juniors. I think that's notable. Is Tristan Jarry better than Matt Murray now? Now? Right now?
This moment?
Yes.
I don't know, because
yes,
they both gave up a bunch of goals in their last few starts.
Yeah.
Like, I know he looked very well against New Jersey, but against Vancouver.
Both of them looked awful.
Yeah, they both looked bad. So
I think it was like the JT Miller goal. Jarry was like flopping around.
Yeah, and then so then the Columbus game, I think they gave up an empty net goal, or was it all five goals?
It might have. I don't remember.
But
that's
yeah,
another game.
Five back to back 5-2 losses. Like, I can't say either of them is like particularly better than the other. It's just, it's been rough. But if you look at last season, Murray struggled around this time last year. But last year was even worse.
Yeah, he did have bad struggles.
And then Murray, like, turned it around. So, I mean, that's all I can really say about it. Like,
who do you start tomorrow?
Against St. Louis?
Yeah.
If I had a guess.
You started Murray against St. Louis last time.
I would say it's tough, but I might sound biased. I'm going to go with Murray again just because it's 4 days off.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what they needed, and if Murray doesn't, he's absolutely in the doghouse. Like,
yeah.
If he starts and he does poorly, he's in the doghouse. Like, yeah. Jari's
both of them are on a very tight leash right now. I feel like Murray's leash is a little tighter. Jari's is still tight, though.
Can we possibly see DeSmith?
I would love it, but, man, I just feel like, and I'm not trying to bash on any of our goalies. I love all three of our goalies. I just want one of them to, I don't even care who it is. I don't care if it's Emil Larmy. Who's a great follow on social media. Please follow him on social media. He's a hilarious guy. I don't care if he comes up and steals the show. We need an elite goaltender right now. Mm-hmm. I don't think any of our goaltenders are performing that level.
Yeah.
I think we definitely have goaltenders that are capable of being elite.
If Murray didn't have such a good start to the season, I'd be concerned. But
yeah.
If he was bad all season, like he was last year around this time, like then I'd be concerned. But I would just give it a few more games before we pull the whole, like, the, oh my god, it was so annoying against Vancouver seeing the replies on the Penguins Twitter accounts about the goalie situation. Like, they're like, oh, Murray sucks, but Jarry, and then they pull Murray, put Jarry,
and he was bad
too,
yeah.
And everyone's just like, well, crap,
I guess
it wasn't Murray.
Two coaches were fired, well, two coaches are gone, I got one step down, one was fired.
Did Peter step down?
Peter stepped down. He stepped down.
That's not a good look for Calgary. They should have just fired him.
Bill Peters from Calgary is out, and Mike Babcock from Toronto was out. Both of these teams were awful and are still struggling.
Well, are the Maple Leafs struggling?
Yeah.
They've been killing it since their coach.
They've had like 3 wins.
I mean, but what, considering how poorly they were doing before. But yeah, Peters.
And that, yeah, that's something. That's something I said. Like I was like, I said it on Twitter. I was like, Calgary is the Leafs of the West, and no one is noticing because they're just as bad, and no one's talking about it. I don't think Goudreau's getting traded. We'll start with Calgary. I don't think Goudreau's getting traded. I would love to see that happen coming to the Penguins, but it's not going to happen. Let's be honest. They need. I don't know what they need really. They're just. They're a team that I look at and they have like 6 very good players and then no one. No one else. David Riddick's an okay goalie. And then like they have Giordano, Kachuk. Yeah, okay. Kachuk, Monahan, Lindholm was a great add. But like who else do they have on that team? Their forward depth is like not there.
Yeah. Speaking of forward depth, guess who is on the second line?
What?
Stefan Nason.
Yeah, I saw that.
And then he's also on the first line power play.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, but yeah, Calgary's it's interesting because like I predicted them to do very well this year.
They won the Pacific last year.
Yeah, I mean,
they went out in 5 games. Like
let's just say their goalie, they were gonna change their coach anyway, but the fact that
the drama happened.
I'm honestly disappointed in them. They didn't fire him, and they had to like have him step down.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah.
Which we don't want to get political or anything, but that yeah. It's happening with a lot of coaches now. A lot of the stuff that's been coming out, especially with Mike Babcock.
Like whenever Don Cherry that happened, like obviously
the dominoes.
There was one side and there was another side.
Mm-hmm.
This what he said was so bad that like if nobody like you should not defend Peters at all.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I agree.
Like the Don Cherry thing. Like obviously I was anti Don Cherry and that whole thing, but there was a surprising number of people that defended him.
Yeah.
Nobody's defending Peters for what he said.
Yeah, I agree. I just think it's a little scummy when you look that far into the past.
Like 10 years, it was a long time.
To fix something that's already happening. I think you should have just fired him because he's a bad coach and you're losing.
Yeah, so it's going to happen anyway.
Like exactly. But looking at the Flames right now, like they have a lot of pieces that I feel are just like dead weight on their roster. Derek Ryan, who is just dead weight. They got... destroyed in that deal with Carolina, in my opinion. I mean, they did get Lindholm, but yeah. Andrew Magenpie, I don't know who that
I
is.
I know Hannifin.
Yeah.
So it's not like Calgary got fleeced, but I mean, I'm sure Carolina's loving Dougie Hamilton.
Yeah. Their biggest deadweight and the biggest deadweight in the entire league, Milan Lucic, is just there. They have a decent defense, but they're struggling to be healthy with Brody, with what happened to him. He is back, though. Rasmus Anderson, Oliver Clayton, Michael Stone rounding out the top or the bottom 4 with Noah Hanifin. They're an okay team on paper, but like I don't know. The Pacific is just a very strong division in my opinion. I don't think they're going anywhere.
So the Leafs.
The Leafs.
We talked about it last time. We were like, what's going to happen? And I can't remember what I said about Babcock. Do you remember?
Yeah, I think I was saying, I don't know.
I think I said he should get fired, but I don't think it'll happen like anytime soon.
Maybe, yeah.
That day or the next day.
It was, it was like the next day. I was so happy that he got fired because I respect him as a coach, and I think he's a phenomenal coach. You don't get to 700 wins with being a terrible coach. But the stuff that's came out about him over the past couple of days and in weeks ever since he's got fired is a little scummy. The thing he did with Mitch Marner is something you should never do in any professional organization ever, let alone coaching. For those of you that don't know, he straight up asked Mitch Marner when he was a rookie, a first-year player on this awful Toronto Maple Leafs team. This was, what, 16, 17? Something like that? 15, 16 maybe?
Yeah, I think it was 15, 16. He was drafted like 4th or 5th overall in in the year where Connor McDavid... I think it was the Connor McDavid draft.
Was it the McDavid draft?
I think it was McDavid when they got Marner because they were like
it was the Hanifin or McDavid. That was like – or McDavid. Hanifin or Marner thing. That was like what it was.
Yes, because
it
was like – and then also Dylan Strome was also taken in that trade or that draft.
Yeah.
And,
Eichel. Yeah. So, yeah. What was I saying?
You were talking about what Marner was forced to do.
Yeah, he was forced to make a list on – the every player in the organization, and Babcock made him rank how hardworking of a player he thinks they are. Mitch Marner put himself at the bottom of the list, which, I mean, is probably something I would do because what? This is the weirdest. Yeah, this is the weirdest thing ever.
Yeah.
He also put Tyler Bozak and Nazem Kadri at the bottom of the list. What are you doing?
Yeah.
That's just an awful thing to do.
No matter, like, what, you're going to make somebody look bad.
Yeah. And but the thing that really, like, sticks it out and, like, makes it, like, just an awful thing that I'm surprised even happened in the National Hockey League ever, and I really think this hurts Mike Babcock's chances of ever being hired again in the National Hockey League, is the fact that he shared it with the rest of the team. He put out and was like, hey, this is what Mitch says about you guys. Nazem, you are not a hard worker, according to Mitch Marner. Tyler Bozak was his line mate, which was Marner's line mate, and was like, yeah, Marner thinks you're not working hard. He's a rookie. Why are you calling out this kid and making him take, like, all the blame and all the hatred? I just, it doesn't make sense to me. It's a scummy thing to do. And
they needed the change in goal or in coaching, but hearing that just makes me so happy he's gone.
Yeah.
And
I feel bad for Toronto.
Still hasn't been doing well. They've won 4 of their 5 games with Keith, and the one loss was a 6-4 loss against Buffalo, which Buffalo's been doing very well.
Buffalo's been doing very well. Did you see what happened last night?
Very well under the new coach, Keith.
Tyson Berry,
and he needed to. He was just doing horrendous.
He got his first goal in Keefe's first game.
Yeah, and Dangle was like, of course. Like, he was like,
and I forget the rookie's name, but he had a goal as well. Like, it was crazy. All these firsts happened with when Keefe got there.
I'm seeing a lot of the 2016 Penguins.
I'm not. They're, like, I'll still defend my stance of the Leafs. They were never a cup contender, even when they were winning with Babcock, and they're still not. They're overreacting to the entire situation. They think they're the best team in the league. They're not.
All right, you can just say that, but when the Leafs win the Stanley Cup.
They're not winning the Stanley Cup. Moving on here, I want to bring up a funny story that came out the other day. Well, I just want to read this off. Tyler Ennis of the Syracuse men's basketball team, and Tyler Ennis of, which has to relate to the Toronto Maple Leafs, last year, or 2018, they got the names mixed up. Did you hear about this? It was pretty funny. All right, so Tyler Ennis, the basketball player, was called in to a medical doctor and was diagnosed with, like, a severe, like, leg injury or something. He got the wrong name wrong, and Tyler Ennis of the Maple Leafs was actually hit with a Morgan Riley wrist shot, and he had a broken bone in his ankle. So Tyler Ennis, the basketball player, was diagnosed with a broken ankle despite not having one. I just thought that was funny, something that came out over the week. I don't even think Tyler Ennis is in the league anymore, is he? Maybe with Ottawa or something like that. Yeah. Another team that I want to just mention briefly here that is awful right now. I love doing this. I love calling out bad teams on the podcast. The Habs have lost 8 in a row. And in response, they waived their backup goalie. That's going to fix it. Keith Kincaid got waived. Is Carey Price hurt?
Is he?
I
don't know.
Because he's playing like he's hurt.
Yeah, which it's unfortunate. I'm not surprised, though. I didn't predict the Maple Leafs or the Canadiens to make the playoffs.
I thought they were challenged. They had a solid start to the year. But yeah, they've fallen off a cliff so far. Right now, the Canadiens are 11-10-6. 1, 2, 3, 4. They're fifth in the Atlantic. Tampa Bay is not that's another thing that people aren't talking about. Tampa Bay is struggling right now. Like, compared to last year, they're 12-9-3. It's crazy. Is Mark Bergevin out of a job here soon?
No, I think they're gonna realize that their division is just so tough, but maybe if this losing streak continues, then yes. I mean, 8 games is nothing to just, like, say nothing about. It's the only game in a row to lose. But I mean, as Eddie Olczyk said in Pittsburgh's Zone, the Penguins won 17 games that year without winning a game.
Yeah, that's what that was. They had a bad team. The Canadiens don't have a bad team, though. They have some solid pieces: Max Domi, Brendan Gallagher, Shea Weber, Thomas Tatar, but they really lost out this offseason in terms of adding a top-line center, which is what they wanted to do so bad. They were in on – well, they were in on Tavares. He didn't even meet with them. They were in on Duchesne. They didn't get him. And then, of course, they offer-sheeted Sebastian Aho, and that didn't work out. So they still don't have that top-line center, which they've been looking for years now. They tried Galchenyuk. They tried Gallagher. And they're trying Max Domi now and Jesperi Kotkaniemi. I feel like if this team gets a top-line center, they're going to be something much better and much more dangerous. And
I feel like they've always struggled with centers.
They have, yeah.
That's been a very long time since they've had a really
Saku
good center.
Koivu was like the last name I can think of.
Yeah, I mean, Drouin is a good player, but he's not. Like,
yeah, Drouin as well is also there. But really, I think the main area that the Canadians are just struggling in right now is their goaltending. And I'm not saying their goaltending's bad. I'm saying that Carey Price is not a $10.5 million goaltender and should not be making that much money. And he's 32 years old. So, like, the Habs really need to do something about that. Like, and they can't. He's signed for so long on that deal, making Bobrovsky-like money. And it's really
Weber. Oh, my God. Sergei really Bobrovsky. I feel like we could talk about him.
Yeah, he's been awful.
Horrible he has been. Like,
he's been
not
awful.
Even just bad, he has been like...
He's been horrible.
He has been trash. And if you're Florida, you have got to be panicking.
Yeah.
Like, he has been super, 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 super bad. And super bad. And you still have him for like 6 more years.
Yeah, 7 or something like, yeah.
Yeah, 6 it's or 7 bad. More years at $10 million. Like, and that, nobody's going to take that contract. And you have that amazing goalie prospect. That you took, Spencer Knight.
Yep.
Like,
yep.
I mean, it's bad. Like, okay, that's all I'm going to say about the Bobrovsky situation. But, man, I have not noticed any good starts behind the season.
Or just the Panthers. The Panthers are bad as well this year.
The Panthers have a great offense. I feel like they always never have a tough time with getting goals. It's just they cannot keep the puck out of their own net. And I thought they finally had that with Sergei Bobrovsky, but yikes.
Yeah. Finishing up the Habs here. They do have some great prospects that are coming up.
Cole Caulfield.
Yeah, Cole Caulfield. But my... hilarious. I obviously regret making this decision. My Calder pick for the year was Ryan Poehling, and he's played 4 games so far this year. And that's not on him, really. It's more of just the Canadiens' depth, and they're trying to make his development a little bit slower so that he can have more development.
Even if he
like
was
that.
Playing every game, there's no way he would win when you got Cale Makar.
Oh, yes. Which we'll go into right now. I want to talk about them real quick. The offensive defensemen that are the young offensive defensemen in this league right now are just so fun to watch, especially since all of them are in their Western Conference and the Penguins don't have to deal with them that much.
Yes.
Quinn Hughes, Cale Makar.
Colorado's also got Bowen Byram.
Yeah, Bowen Byram when he's coming up.
Drafted, who is like this year, I think, playing in the
Eric Brandstrom in Ottawa, even. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They're fun to watch. Cale Makar has scored some beautiful goals this year.
Beautiful right-handed defenseman.
He's the perfect defenseman for like the current NHL. I cannot wait to see him like grow and thrive.
Yeah.
I just remember like seeing him coming into the playoffs and I'm like, who's this guy? And then he scored in his first NHL game in a playoff game. Mm-hmm. Crazy. And I'm still defending my Colorado Avalanche for the Stanley Cup pick.
I just think they're about one more year. They just need one or two more years.
I feel like they're gonna add big at the deadline. Could you see Taylor Hall going to the Colorado Avalanche?
I would love that.
Could you imagine?
I'd love for him to re-sign there.
That'd
because
be great.
Because then that's one.
They have so much cap space.
Yes, they do.
The Avs right now, well, they're still hurt. That's like the thing that's crazy about them. They're still a very good team. They have their entire top line is out except for MacKinnon. They have Landeskog and Rantanen are both out. I'm pretty sure they're both still out.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if they want to go for Taylor Hall, I mean, yes, if you absolutely want to try to go for the Cup this year, then do it. But if not, just wait till July 1st, and then you won't have to give up any players or picks.
Yeah.
It just depends how well they're doing at the trade deadline. If not, then just wait.
They did give up a couple picks in the Barry trade. They have a first this year. They do not have a second. They have the Maple Leafs third. And then 2022, they have all their picks so far. Their highest contract is Mikko Rantanen with a little over $9 million, which just happened. Nikita Zadorov and Mark Barberio, Andrei Burakovsky, Matt Nieto will all be up, or notable contracts that will be up or on the offseason. Tyson Jost also needs re-signed. They have a little bit over They have a little bit over $8 million in cap space right now, so they could just take Hall's full contract right now and try and re-sign him next offseason. I really think they're going to add big to the deadline, maybe Taylor Hall. They're still winning the Stanley Cup in my eyes.
There's some breaking news about a coach in the NHL, if you heard.
Who?
Assistant coach for the Ottawa Senator.
Chicago Blackhawks. Yeah.
Mark
Crawford.
Physical abuse.
Yeah, I saw that. The physical abuse was he kicked Sean Avery, apparently. I don't blame him. Yeah. I love Sean Avery, though.
I love what he did with Britter.
Oh, yeah. Maybe that's crazy.
Sit in front of that.
Quiz time.
All right.
This is the first quiz where we are switching things up here. Levi's quizzing me, so I'll let him take the ropes on this one.
I hope it's difficult for you, but I don't know. So I'm going to undo this. Okay, so there are 28 players in Penguins history that have worn a number between 62 and 95, and I want to see how many of those you can get. If you get 14 or less, I'm going to call you a fake fan. If you get 15 to 18, that's impressive. 19 to 24, amazing. 25 to 27.
I love how you have to categorize these.
Yeah, 28. If you get all 28, you're a diehard fan, but I would say you'll probably get about 15.
Above 15?
There are some very, very...
I mean, yeah, these are the high numbers.
Well, there's actually a lot of these players. I don't doing this. I have the years they played. I don't see any, like, from before 1990.
Yeah, so there are a bunch of current.
Weird, like, players that played on the Penguins that wore this number for a brief time and switched.
Yep, which I might know because I have some old Penguins cards of some of these players, which I'm going to start here. All right, you ready?
Well, to make it easy, I have the numbers from, like, so you can see, like, so you don't have to guess which numbers were used.
Okay.
All right, yeah. So do you want to just go down the line?
I'll go down the line. Well, I'll do some of them that I know are high numbers, but I don't know which ones they are.
Okay.
I know Rick Tocchet wore, like, a high 90s number when he came over. Is he on there?
Yep. As you get them, I'll unblock.
I also know Alex Goligoski wore a very high number when he came over. He wasn't originally 33, because I have his rookie card.
Okay.
What number is he? What number is he?
Don't look at the...
I'm not looking right now, so...
Okay. Because I know he's one of them, but I...
Is he on there?
Yes, he wore 67.
I also know Jay McKee. Is he in there somewhere?
He wore 74.
Let's go. All right. So I'm at 3 right now.
Mm-hmm. All right. You haven't even taken out any of these.
Yeah, so 62, Hagelin.
Yep.
63. Is Steve Oleski in here somewhere?
He's not 63, but he is.
I knew he wore a high number.
He's on here somewhere. I don't see him on here, but
he isn't.
I thought I wrote him down.
I thought he was a high number because I thought he wore like 60s. Oh, wait. When does this start? 62?
Yes.
So no Sergei Plotnikov?
No Sergei Plotnikov. For some reason, just started at 62 for some reason. I thought I put Oleksiy on here.
Okay, so 64. Oh, there's no 64. 65, I don't know.
Do you not know 63?
Well, I'll come back to it, because I may just guess a random name. And
65
is
a player that originally...
Well, don't give me hints yet. Okay. 66, Mario Lemieux. 67, was that Goligoski?
Yes.
Okay, 68, Jágr.
Yep.
69, no one, until I make the league. 70, is Alexei Kovalev in there somewhere?
Yes, he actually, when he came back.
Yeah, because I knew he did. What number was he?
He wore 72 when he came back to the Penguins. Okay. In 2011.
Yeah, yeah, that was very brief.
He didn't wear that his first stint with the Penguins.
So Kovalev does count. Malkin, of course. Hornquist, of course.
You got to slow down for real quick.
I'm counting on my hands right now. I got 9.
Okay, you just said Malkin, then Hornquist.
Malkin and Hornquist. Peter Nedved, is he there somewhere?
Yes.
Oh, I thought he was like mid-70s, but I still got him. So there's 10. What number am I on? 74? Oh, 73. 73, Jack Johnson.
Mm-hmm. You already got 74 with Jay McKee.
Jay McKee. 75, Ryan Reeves.
Mm-hmm.
76, PK Subban. When you have to, 76. Was there a 76
yes.
for the Penguins?
I doubt we'll get him now.
Okay.
He had 2 stints with the Penguins, but...
Okay. 77, Paul Coffey.
Mm-hmm.
78.
No,
78. 80. 81. Okay, there's three, I'm pretty sure.
Two.
Miroslav Shetan.
Mm-hmm.
Phil Kessel.
Mm-hmm. You got both of them.
Marian Hossa wasn't 81?
You were 18.
Oh, okay.
Because I think Satan or somebody had it already.
All right, well, there's 15. 82. Peter. Was that Peter Nedved? One of these is Peter Nedved.
Nedved. He was 93.
82. Richard Park. Is he on there somewhere?
He is on there, but he wore 76.
Yes.
That's the one I was like, I don't think you'll get him.
Yes.
82. This one's easy.
82. Peter Nedved and who's the other guy I'm thinking of?
No, only one player wore 82.
Marcus Naslin?
No.
Is he on there somewhere?
I don't have him on here anywhere.
Okay, we'll skip.
I don't even
we'll
know.
Skip that. 83, is there anything?
No.
84?
Nope.
Is there anything? 85? No, because that's my favorite number.
You know, someone wore 85.
Someone wore 85?
One season.
86, no. Crosby, 87.
The only player to wear 87.
88. How many players?
No.
Nobody.
No 88. No 88. No 89. No 90. No 91. 91. And then in the 90s, it's only 92. They have one more player that wore that, and one player that wore 95.
Was Yuri Herdina one of these players? I don't know.
No.
All right, I'm at 17 right now. I'm pretty sure. Did you get me Rick Tocchet?
Yes.
Because I know Rick Tocchet was.
Another player that wore 92.
Should I know him?
Yeah.
I have no idea. When did he play?
I'm going to set a timer. I can give you like 2 more minutes. Okay. Shoot. What do you fancy new Apple Watch? All right, you got 2 minutes.
2 minutes. Okay. Well, what numbers am I missing? 62?
163. 265,
265, 271, 272, 182, 185, 192, 195. Yeah, I have no idea. Okay. Who's this? This 82, I should know him?
92. Yeah, and 82.
I should know both 92 and 82?
Yeah. Do you want me to give you a hint?
Yeah.
Okay, 82, he scored a big overtime goal for the Penguins in the early 2000s.
Okay.
90s, early 2000s, somewhere in that range. He was with the Penguins for 10 years.
Oh, boy.
And then the goal...
Thomas Vokoun, 92.
Yeah, all right. So I accidentally gave that away. All right, you have 1 minute and 5 seconds.
Shoot, who was this 82? Was he a defenseman?
No. 4, 5, 6. I'm counting here. 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13... 14, 15, 16, 17. You're at
17
right now.
I just was at 17. I got Thomas Vokoun, 18.
No, I counted them all.
All right.
That's miscounted.
So I'm in what category? Impressive.
You are at 18. You're at 18. I miscounted. Okay, do you want me to tell you who that player is at 82 that you should get?
Yeah, go ahead.
Marty Straka.
Oh, Martin Straka. Okay. Yeah.
But other than that, I don't think there's really any other like obvious ones that you missed.
All right, I'm revealing them right now for myself.
Okay. Yeah, other than that one.
63.
Oh, Ron Hainsey.
Tim Wall. Oh, yeah, he was 65. Ron Hainsey was 65. Your Ben Lovejoy was 65.
Yes, for his first stint.
82, Martin Straka. Alexei Morozov.
So, yeah, I think you only missed like two.
Peter Kilma. Yeah, I did pretty good.
Yeah, you did impressive.
Yuri Slager, Konstantin Kozlov, Eric
Melo. That's an amazing name, by the way.
Yeah, Konstantin Kozlov.
That's like the greatest hockey name
ever. Eric Meloch. All right, yeah. Tim Wallace, wow. All right.
So how would you think for your first quiz?
It was a very odd quiz, but it made me think. It made me think.
I'll have a better one for you next time.
Okay. So yeah, as of right now, we'll let you know about next week.
I'll probably put it on Twitter. Okay, so I have a final during this time next week, but
yeah.
I'm going to take it tomorrow instead, like at 8 a.m.
Yeah.
So I should be good for this time.
Okay.
Have a final.
We'll definitely have an episode next week. We'll let you guys know when it is. We'll definitely let you guys know who gets hurt next for the Penguins.
You got to follow us on Twitter. That is see.
Also, follow us on Twitter, of course. Keep updated with our podcast. Also, keep updated with Steel City Films and Army Century Media and also Pittsburgh Sports Castle, which I haven't wrote for in like a month, but still got to promote them. Thank you all for tuning in. We'll catch you next week.